Have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, and the last verse, verse 31. Read that, and we're going to go back to 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "But those who wait upon the Lord," or I'd like to say it this way, "those who wait for the Lord," or those who have expectation for the Lord, "shall renew their strength," or strength will spring up in them. "They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint." In other words, they won't get exhausted and they don't get tired if you wait on the Lord. And a lot of people wear themselves out trying to help the Lord out instead of waiting for the Lord. And I see this often in people's lives. Then if you want to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 13, and I want to begin reading with verse 1. It says, "Saul reigned 1 year, and when he'd reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Bethel, or pardon me, in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent everyone to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba. When the Philistines heard it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout the land, saying, 'Let the Hebrews hear.' And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had an abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward of Beth-Aven. When the multitude of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people hid themselves in caves and thickets and in rocks and high places and pits. Some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, 'Bring here a burnt offering to me and peace offerings.' And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, 'What have you done?' And Saul said, 'Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, that you did not come within the days appointed, and the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore I said, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering, or I obligated myself," maybe the way we should say it. "And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You've not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom upon Israel forever, but now your kingdom will not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because you have not kept the Lord, that which the Lord commanded you.' Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal into Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people who were present with him, about 600 men." I want to talk to you about waiting for the Lord. Waiting for the Lord. How many of you know that one of the hardest things to do is to wait? None of you like to wait, do you? You know, we've live in a fast-paced society, and we want things moving at our pace. And if you learn that it doesn't always work that way, that it's not always at your pace. And this is the thing about the believers, Christians. They think that things should move at their pace, but God has His pace. God has His time. You remember we read that little phrase, set time? Samuel told Saul, you wait. Now, Samuel said Saul was late. Saul said Samuel was late. But Samuel got there, he just didn't get there early enough. You with me? If I told you 7 days and I didn't get there to 1 minute before that day ended, I still kept my word, right? You see, we have these preconceived ideas of how things should be. And when God gives us a mandate, then God expects us to wait for His timing. You follow me? Back many years ago, the Lord said to me, the timing of God is as critical as the will of God. It's extremely important that you don't miss my timing. And this is a thing that I've found in ministry. It's easy to miss the timing of God. It's extremely easy to miss the timing of God. Especially when, church service is about to start and you don't have the message. A friend of mine used to say, people serve El Shaddai and Jehovah that. And he said, my God's El Nikatim. So often is right at the last minute that the Lord gives you the instruction. Now, I experienced that quite a bit myself. You don't realize that. You don't. People think that work all week preparing your message. But it doesn't work that way with me. Many years ago, the Lord told me He'd rather me to prepare my heart than to prepare a message. He said, if you'll prepare your heart, you'll have the message. I'll give you the message. And it seems like when you study and you give, when I'm talking about study, I'm talking about hours. You give hours and hours to study. And yet when Sunday rolls around or whatever time it may be, you don't have the message. Oh, you can come up with the message. We've got outlines this high. You can just pull an outline and preach it. But what does God want? Is that the timing for that message? We don't want to miss the timing of God. When God puts something in your heart, it's not that it's going to happen immediately. You think about Joseph. Here as a teenager, he has a couple dreams. God has put something in his heart. This is God. It's a God thing. And Joseph knows it's a God thing. But it's not timing. Now he like all of us, maybe a little overzealous, and started, telling his brothers and his family what God was going to do with him. Basically, you guys are all going to bow down to me. Yeah, you're right. And so they end up selling him into slavery and all this, not understanding that they're just helping fulfill what God told Joseph was going to happen. But from the time he got that word from the Lord until the time that word came into fruition, Joseph was tested. Do you understand? He was severely tested, even to the point of prison. Read the 105th Psalm. It'll tell you about it. Okay? And so when God puts a word in you, that word will be tested. And you have to wait. who through faith and patience inherited the promises. That's what the writer of Hebrews says, through faith and patience inherited a promise. God promised Abraham at 75 years old that he was going to be the father of many nations. Isaac wasn't born until he was 100 years old. You follow me? I mean, right here's 25 years of waiting for that promised seed. Now, Abraham never saw the nations. He never saw the kings coming out of his loins. But the word of God came to pass. And so what did he do? He stayed true to God. Now, you know, Sarah prompted him a little bit. She got impatient and they decided they'd help God out. And how many people today think they're going to help God out? God's not moving fast enough. And I'm going to tell you what happens. Every time you try to help God out, you produce an Ishmael. Anything the flesh produces is going to be in opposition to what God is wanting. You follow me? And so that impatience brought about a flesh thing which had to be eradicated from the house. You understand later on when Isaac is born, flesh mocking that of promise, that of the Spirit. God, Sarah said, get it out. God said, listen to her. You get rid of it. Flesh can't cohabit with promise. You understand? Flesh and spirit won't cohabit. And a lot of people are trying to hold on to both. It can't be done. And so when God puts something in you, you have to expect that to come to pass. Just wait on the Lord with a full expectation that God will do it in God's timing. I go back to Saul. He expected Samuel to be there at a particular time, and when Samuel didn't get there, Saul did what he did not have the right and privilege of doing. You understand, he was not of the tribe of Levi. He was the tribe of Benjamin. What does he do? He takes it on himself. Well, this is rationale. This is reasoning, which is absolutely crazy to go against the will of God. So he takes it on himself to offer a sacrifice. How many people have sacrificed things? You know, God puts in their heart, for instance, a ministry. God will deal with them at an early age, even, you know, about ministry. And then they are not waiting for God's prompting. How many of you know them? The call of God to the commission of God is a lot of training. The moment God calls you is not the time that you just go into the position. There's a whole lot that has to take place. Believe it or not, God has to prepare you to do the work that he's put in your heart. Now see, he puts something in our heart to give us a vision. And then we develop in that and train ourselves to reach the vision. I say train ourselves, we put forth the effort, okay? Just like with this Bible college. It was 19 years from the time God spoke the name to me until God spoke to me to start the college. You understand? And so what happens so often is people try to jump ahead of God. In premature things, you know, are problems waiting to happen. You have to wait for the Lord. And people don't understand something, and you know, I get grossly misunderstood because people think I move too slow. I don't want to get ahead of God. I want to hear God. I want God's timing, not my timing. I'm not interested in how many people we
we have. I'm not interested in how many colleges we can have, how many churches you can have, and all this type stuff. You know, in this day and time, it's you have the mother church, and you're producing all these, and you get this group over here and this group. Those things don't appeal to me. I'm going to tell you what appeals to me is hearing God and doing what God says to do. Then that is when I have obeyed God, and that's the best it could get for me. The reward is not in the numbers. It's not how much you do. It's did you obey? You know, Saul had another problem. He was sent on a mission to destroy Amalek, and everything there, don't leave anything breathing. But he had a better idea. He didn't follow God's way. You understand? You have to follow God's way, and you have to do it in God's time. Those things are critical in order for the kingdom of God to be established like God wants it established. You with me? There's more to it than just preaching or teaching. Obviously, those things are vital. But if you read the book of Acts, you know, Paul was going into Asia. You're going to preach the gospel of Jesus. That's honorable. I mean, the scriptures say go into all the world and preach the gospel. But the Spirit of God says don't go. Timing. Now, later on, you read that all Asia heard the gospel. It's not that God was depriving that province from hearing the gospel. It wasn't the timing yet. And when the timing's right, people receive. It's like trying to get a person saved and God's not dealing with their heart. It's like beating your head against the wall. You're not getting anywhere. But when the timing's right, that's what this emphasis is. Wait for the Lord. Get the timing of God in the things that you do. Get the timing for God. Just because you see a need doesn't mean that you just jump on that right then. You can actually mess things up. You follow me in all that? Okay. And so I want you to hear this very clearly. Wait for the timing of God. Now, I'm not talking about procrastinating. You know, some may think that I procrastinate. I'm not a procrastinator. I am motivated. But I'm not interested in doing stuff just because it needs to be done. I want to look at the whole picture of the thing. You follow me? And let's do this thing to maximize the potential. Let's get it right. And the only way we're going to get it right is to do it God's way. Now, if I'm truly trusting in God, those who wait for the Lord, I have a full expectation of what the Lord is going to do, then I don't become weary. The problem is you lose your expectation. This is what happens. People get their eyes on the circumstances. And when you get your eyes on the circumstances, your expectation diminishes, and then you think you've got to do something. I have been personally told, do something if it's wrong. Well, how stupid can you be? Why would you want to do something wrong? You understand? It's a fact of getting a plan of action before you go into action. God never reacts. Never. He has a plan of action and He executes that plan of action. And that's exactly what God is wanting us to do. Get a plan of action. Where am I going to get that? Well, I just stay diligent in reading the scriptures, talking to the Lord, praying, and then waiting for the Lord to speak to me. Here again, I'm not talking about procrastinate. I'm talking about you giving yourself to the Lord so the Lord can speak to you. You don't ever listen to the Lord, you won't ever hear the Lord. Well, I don't ever hear the Lord. Well, how much time do you spend with the Lord? You follow me? And so we got to hear what God's saying, and then when that word comes in our heart, it's seed. How many of you have ever sown a seed today and tomorrow you get a crop? Foolish, didn't think that way, right? I don't care what it is, grass, seed, flower, grain, any seed you plant, it's not coming up the next day. God's Word comes in our heart. Paul says it this way. One plant, I planted. Apollos watered. God gave the increase. But do you see the progression in that? When you read the fourth chapter of Mark, he has a parable there, a parable of progression. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. It says the guy that sows the seed, he doesn't know how it grows. He's just confident that it will. He's expecting it to come to pass. The word goes into the ground, and he just goes about his daily routine of life. He sleeps at night and works during the day. One day he looks, and there's the blade. You understand? And he's talking about the kingdom of God. You read it. He's comparing that to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, God's dominion, works in a progressive manner. It goes in as a seed. That seed grows up and it takes over this, it takes over that. One day, the kingdom is ruling. You with me? In God's time. In God's time. I know when God spoke to me about leaving secular work and going into the ministry was a long period of time. Now, the interesting thing about it is I had to get willing to stay before I was ready to go. It's amazing when you think of it, you know. But there has never been a second that I have doubted that I stepped out in God's time. I know that I stepped out in God's time while I heard the Spirit. And He told me when. Not just leave. He let me know when. He gave me that. Be gone by September 1 is what He told me. You with me? Now we're talking timing of God. Excuse me. Prior to that, you're waiting. There's an anticipation, but you can't let that anticipation grow into an anxiety. My anticipation is God's Word's coming to pass. God has said it. God will bring it to pass. You think about David, how God sent Samuel to anoint David to be the next king over Israel because he rejected Saul. Saul's still king for many more years. You understand? Many more years. And so Samuel anoints David to be king. So what's David do? David serves Saul, the one God has rejected for many years. Waiting, waiting, waiting. He has a couple opportunities, and you know, Saul's jealous, wanting to take him out, wanting to kill him. David has a couple opportunities to take him out and refuses to do it. Now, here's a principle. God will take care of that. In other words, God's anointed me, and when it's time for me to go to the throne, then the Lord will put me on the throne. I won't have to do it myself. And a lot of people are trying to promote themselves. No, the gift makes room for you. You don't make room for the gift. You don't promote yourself. You wait for the Lord. What do? You develop in the gifting. You keep developing. You keep studying. You understand to where the gift develops. You become proficient in the gift. I just tell people, bloom where you plant it. Don't be looking for some great thing. What are you doing where you are? Are you obeying God where you are? Look, if you're not obeying God where you are, do you think He's going to put you in some high place? He's not going to trust you until you prove yourself trustworthy. And that's done through God's timing, being diligent to keep yourself subjected to God. And then when the Spirit of God speaks, you move out in the timing of God. You follow me? Those who wait don't get tired if you have a full expectation that the Lord is bringing it to pass. I don't know how. I don't know when. God's reserved that for Him. It's just like Jesus is coming at His time. In the fullness of time, He came to earth, not in the time of the Jews. They missed the timing of God. Jesus wept over the city because they missed their hour of visitation. And so many people are missing God. They're not recognizing God. We have to wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. I get amazed and sometimes about half irritated at people because of the lack of patience. They think everything's got to be done. Just say, do it, do it, do it, do it. You understand? And to me, they're revealing their ignorance because they haven't looked at the big picture. They only see what they want. And when you see what you want and you try to make it come to pass, you're going to get Ishmael. And it's going to come back and haunt you in some way, form, or fashion. No, wait for the Lord. His timing. His timing. Don't get ahead of God and don't lag behind when God says move. Now, if you look at the Old Testament procedure where Israel has come out of Egypt and they're being led by a cloud, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. When the cloud stops, they stop and set up camp. When the cloud moves, they move. Whether it's one day, one month, or one year. It doesn't matter if it's day or night. When the cloud moves, they move. There's a principle involved in this. Be led by the Spirit of God. This is the timing of God. When that cloud moves, it's time to move. When that cloud is just staying there, it's time to stay. You understand? You think about Philip in Samaria. You know, people talk about great revivals and all this type of thing. I mean, man, there were things going on in the city of Samaria. People, you know, being receiving Jesus. People being healed. Cripples walking. And the Spirit of God says, go into this deserted place. Now, how many would do that? No, people are so engrossed in masses that they miss the Spirit of God. Philip leaves the city and goes out there to minister to one man, that eunuch. The timing of God. The timing of God. The eunuch was ripe to accept Jesus. You with me? So God moves on Philip. Philip goes out there and gets him saved, and the Spirit just catches Philip away. Timing of God. The timing of God. I'm going to tell you, many ministries miss the timing of God. Many individuals miss the timing of God because God does not do things your way. And the reason He doesn't is He's so far superior to you in intelligence. His ways are higher, His thoughts are higher. And I've resigned to the fact that in the presence of God, I'm like Agar says, stupid. I'm the most stupid of all men. Read Proverbs 30. You understand? when you get into the presence of God, you realize that what wisdom you may think you have is nothing compared to wisdom personified, the wisdom that was there when the world was created, the wisdom of God. And so we have to trust that wisdom and move with God so we don't miss the timing of God. Let's do it God's way in God's time. Then we get the maximized results out of things without blowing it. Does all this make sense to you? Okay. Don't get ahead of God. Walk in step with the Spirit of God. Well, what if I'm not hearing? Keep doing what you're doing. And just give yourself to reading, to praying. You don't force God's hand. You don't put God's arm up behind His back and make Him get in a hurry. Peter says, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. You know, we're in this area here, in this bodysuit we call time. We wear watches and look at clocks and stuff like that. God doesn't wear a watch. He doesn't have a calendar like you and I. He moves in His time. You follow me? And the judgment of God does not come on a person until it's time. We want God to just snuff out the wicked, and God wants them to repent. And He'll give them time for that cup to fill up. And until that cup is full, they have opportunity to repent. But when they cross the line, then the judgment of God will come down. Okay? But God is a merciful God, and God will work with us if we'll work with God. That's the thing. It's a cooperative effort. We don't do it for Him. He doesn't do it for us. We do it with Him. And if I'm going to do it with Him, I have to be in step with Him. You with me? Timing is critical. Wait for the Lord. He puts it in you. Don't try to make it happen. Just follow the promptings of the Spirit, and it will come to pass. Amen? Okay, that's the message. You got all that? You going to slow down? Wait on God? Yeah, wait for Him. That wouldn't last long. You guys all right? Good. Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and You give us peace. So Lord, we invite You to rise up. Let Your enemies be scattered and those who hate You flee before You. Amen. Have a great afternoon. We'll be back this evening. Good to see Richard. He's back. He's been in Costa Rica for a while, and so I let him fill me in on all the details.